This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned into a special podcast where we'll be discussing September quarter GDP numbers that the government released on November 29th. To do just that, I have Money Control's Deputy Executive Editor Ravi Krishnan with me. Hi and welcome to the show, Ravi.
Hi, Jerome.
Ravi, let's begin with, what do the GDP numbers tell us?
Well, let me cut to the chase.
Right.
It's gloom and doom. That's okay. What the first cut analysis of GDP number tells me.
Okay.
I mean, look at the headline number. GDP growth has come down to 4.5% from 5% growth in the first quarter, in the April to June quarter.
Okay.
If you look at gross value added, which is another measure, that has come down to 4.3% from 4.9% in the first quarter. I mean, this is one thing, right? But the main reason why the GDP growth is even 4.5% this quarter is because government has stepped up its spending.
Okay.
Now, if we just remove the government spending, you know, from the GDP numbers and look at the rest of, you know, essentially the private sector, then GDP growth is only 3%. So, which basically shows that things are not all right with the economy.
Okay. All right, Ravi, what's the reason behind this fall? Last time I remember we had spoken on one of the videos Reporters Take, and you'd spoken about rural consumption. Is it the same case here?
Well, see, I mean, let me give a bit of context here.
Sure.
Right. What drives GDP or GDP growth, right? There are four engines. One is consumption, private consumption. The second is investments. The third is government spending. And fourth is what we call net exports, which is exports minus imports.
Right.
Like when we export, we are producing in the economy. But when we import, it is somebody else's produce. So you deduct that.
Right.
Now in India, all these four engines are failing.
Okay.
Okay. So we have seen that private consumption falling from a peak of 9.8% a couple of years ago. It has fallen. It had fallen to as low as 3.1% in the April to June quarter. So the little bit of good news here in these GDP numbers is that private consumption has increased a bit. It was 5% in the July to September quarter.
Okay.
So that's a good thing.
Right.
But what about investments? Investments, nothing has really happened. There was growth in investments of around 4% in the April to June quarter. But that has come down to 1% in the September quarter. So coming back to the point of government spending was around 9% in the June quarter. It increased to nearly 16% in the September quarter.
Okay.
So that is a main reason why we are seeing GDP growth even come in at, you know, 4.5%. Otherwise, it could have well been worse.
Okay.
One thing I want to add here, these rates which I am talking about, this is what we call real rates, which is adjusted for inflation.
Okay.
So nominal GDP, which is without adjusting for inflation, that is a growth of 6.1%.
Okay.
Now, remember that in the budget, I think if I remember correctly, the government had forecast somewhat like 11% growth in nominal GDP for the entire year.
Okay.
But 6% is probably the lowest in recent memory. I can't remember the last time when India's nominal GDP growth was 6%, so low. All these four engines are not firing. Okay. Why? Okay. So poor demand. There is a lack of demand in the economy. Okay. That stems also from a lack of confidence. Business, there is no demand among people. You know, we saw that unemployment rate had risen to a 45-year high.
Right.
So when people are not sure about, you know, their jobs, what they are going to do, it's not as if they are going to step up spending.
Exactly.
When people are not stepping up spending, then businessmen won't be confident enough to set up new factories.
Right.
So investment also falls.
Right.
And we should remember that overall the world economy is also in a slowdown. Therefore exports are not doing so well.
Okay. Okay.
So these are the reasons why, you know, overall the economic situation is not so good.
All right. Ravi, since you spoke of a world economy and the slowdown, where does India stand when compared to at least developing countries as far as GDP numbers are concerned?
Well, see, Jerome, I think last financial year, Bangladesh overtook India in terms of GDP growth.
Okay.
So things are not going that well. But one thing to remember here is that there is a synchronized slowdown across the globe.
Okay.
Because of various factors, you know, Brexit, US-China trade war, and a whole lot of other factors. So IMF it has downgraded global growth to 3% for 2019.
Okay.
That is the lowest growth rate since the 2008 financial crisis.
Okay.
So even our big neighbor China, China's growth forecasts have been downgraded to 6.1% this year and 5.8% next year.
Okay.
So overall, you know, there is a synchronized slowdown and India is part of it.
Okay.
But having said that, you know, when growth, you know, has fallen quite sharply from around 6%, 7% to 4.5%, that's why we feel the pain much more.
Okay. I would say. All right. What about the impact these numbers would have on the market, Ravi?
Well, see, this is like 2 month old numbers, right? Because this is for the September quarter, right. July to September. So the markets would have discounted this.
Okay.
Anyway, economists were all falling over themselves to continuously cut these GDP estimates. And people were saying roughly 4.2 to 4.7% would be the September quarter growth. And the actual number has fallen in the midpoint of that.
Okay.
From a market point of view, we need to see, you know, what is the way forward? Do we see a recovery? No, I don't think we quite see a recovery, even if sort of consumption growth is picked up a little bit.
Okay.
What will be the impact of earnings?
Mm-hmm.
See, right now, the markets have run ahead of fundamentals, you
right.
know. But it is also a very narrow rally.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few stocks have risen.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last 2 years, market cap of BSE, that is all the stocks listed, that has remained at more or less the same level.
Oh, okay.
But Sensex, if you look at just the index value, that has gone up by around 25% or something like that.
Okay.
So will earnings catch up with these kind of high valuations?
Mm-hmm.
That is, of course, a big question.
Okay.
Right. And one is not really sure.
Okay.
But ultimately, we also need to think about why the markets have rallied so far.
Mm-hmm.
One big reason has been fund flows. You know, central banks across the world are turning on their taps and releasing money in a bit to boost growth elsewhere. So some of that money is finding its way here.
Okay.
And that is a reason why markets have rallied.
Okay.
If that continues, I think, yes, we might see these few stocks go up further, irrespective of, you know, whether the GDP number picks up or not.
Okay. One concern I would like to raise here, Ravi. When GDP numbers were good, a couple of years back, analysts had questioned it, saying that the reality could be different. As in, they had questioned the way GDP was being calculated and so on and so forth. Now, as we see, GDP numbers are not so good. So what's the reality here? And where are those concerns that were raised earlier? Are they genuine?
With the new GDP series, I mean the current series which we have, which has a base year as 2011-2012, the question always was, why don't the GDP numbers match with your gut feeling, the feeling of the on-the-ground feeling? You know, it didn't quite match. These concerns have turned out to be quite genuine, I would say.
Okay.
At the heart of the debate is, of course, you know, how much does the private sector contribute to GDP?
Right.
So currently it uses, I'm getting a little bit technical here, it takes the companies in the MCA database, Ministry of Corporate Affairs database.
Right.
And investigations have some leaks, these have revealed that there are fake companies.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be overestimation of GDP,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And if you're saying that when things were good, when things are bad, maybe things are even worse than what the 4.5% number suggests. That is why people are still complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in June this year, former chief economic advisor Arvind Subramaniam had come out with a paper saying that there could be overestimation of GDP.
Okay.
In that, he had mentioned that there were 17 indicators, including stuff like petrol consumption, real credit growth, export growth, where the correlation with GDP numbers broke down in 2011. So there is no correlation between these variables of what's happening in the economy and the GDP numbers which are coming out.
Okay.
So these concerns are genuine, and we probably need a revamp in the methodology of how GDP is calculated.
All right. Lastly, Ravi, how can this whole decline in GDP be overcome, and what measures should be taken for a turnaround?
Tough question, I should say. The government's top economic managers haven't found a solution. So I think the key question is, have we hit the bottom yet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think quite we have.
Okay.
I mean, look at it. Just before the GDP release, October core sector data came. It showed a contraction of 5.8%.
Mm-hmm.
PMI numbers are not still, you know, showing any signs of relief. Ultimately, if we go back, and think about the four engines of this thing, the government and RBI, they have been trying to stoke consumption an investment, you know, by sort of easing access to credit and by making credit cheaper. So RBI has cut the policy rate 5 times this year. It is, the policy rate is 5.15% now, not very far from its lowest ever reading of 4.75%. Now, what more can the RBI do? I mean, it's time for the government to do the heavy lifting now. Coming to the government, again, the fiscal space is really less. It has already cut the corporate tax rate. Will we see some impact in the December quarter? One doesn't really know. But what the government could possibly do is to put more money in the hands of consumers. You know, that could be a way to sort of boost private spending further, consumption further, which will then have multiplier effects, which will, you know, set off positive effects in the rest of the economy.
Right.
But again, the question is of fiscal space. I mean, the government is, the fiscal deficit is already quite high, isn't it? And there are going to be slippages. Well, there are ways they can cut non-merit subsidies, for instances. They can cut some exemptions in taxes, which nobody knows where it goes. These are ways. And of course, structural reforms, which economists always keep talking about, you know. For example, reducing the size of the public sector, labor reforms, allowing firms to hire and fire easily, land reforms, and of course predictability in regulations. So, but these are all long-term things. I think, you know, for a quick turnaround, two things which they can do. One is sort of put more money in the hands of the consumer, which they can possibly do in the forthcoming budget, and also see the NBFC sector is in kind of dire straits, and some of these rate cuts and other things which the government has been trying to do is not working because of the NBFC sector. So, and as I always have kept on writing this past 12 months, regulators should do an asset quality review and isolate the really bad apples, so that, you know, banks can start lending to NBFCs and NBFCs in start in turn can start lending to the rest of the economy. So that could be one way out of this.
A word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Thanks Ravi for all these updates. Me being a consumer, I would definitely want cut in the income tax and hope the government comes up with something better in budget 2020. With that, we wrap the special episode of the Money Control podcast. In case you have any query or in case you have any suggestion, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.